Jack, Jack, someone's in the hotel. They hurt Danny.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah.
So, hey, James.
Hi, Catherine. Very natural banter.
Our natural banter. I saw Immaculate last week. Did you see it?
I did see it. I didn't get to see it at the cool red carpet thing that you went to because
you were invited. You just didn't come.
They sent it to a weird email. They sent it to Chelsea's voice acting professional email instead of any of the many Dead Meat emails. So.
But how many Dead Meat emails are there?
There's Dead Meat Pod, Dead Meat James, Dead Meat Movies. So at least three.
And they just got somehow.
None of them got it, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
We did have fun. It was Spencer.
It looked really fun. Yep.
Barbara was there. Chris was there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I know all who was there.
Sorry.
I saw the pictures.
I'm sorry.
Weird. We see it in a little screening room and just like with a bunch of other like critics in a dark quiet.
I loved it. I was obsessed.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah. I feel like it's like a film where it's like women are going to love it. I don't know how men are going to love it.
Chelsea said it was fine.
Really?
Yeah.
I am like shocked.
Chelsea's a hard critic. Dude.
I know she is.
Like,
I know she is.
If you win Chelsea's approval, you got to feel good about yourself.
I know she is. This is like Chelsea has this guilt because she doesn't like this film that you guys didn't like a film that I'm in and you reviewed it before I knew you guys on the show.
Oh, what, Terrifier?
Yeah. Yeah. And I agreed with everything he said. Not like I don't like the film, but I thought your critiques were like, accurate critiques.
They're good and bad things.
She felt
about
so
it.
Bad for the longest time. And I was like, it's okay. You don't have to love it.
No, but I'm glad Immaculate seems to be doing well. I hope it does well. I hope all horror movies do well.
Same.
Because that's good.
But yeah, speaking of horror movie fans, we are Scream Dreams. I'm Catherine Corcoran.
I'm James A. Janisse.
And today, we're so privileged to be with Michael Rosenbaum, who has an amazing other podcast, but is an amazing actor, just creative in general. Thank you so much for being with us
You were
today.
In Terrifier?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but like, I became friendly with Damien and those guys, and they're going to do my podcast.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm a huge horror nut. And so that's cool. I'm like, oh, look at you. And you guys bombed it, like, you know.
Yeah, that first one. We love the second one. I think there's a lot of improvement between the first and second. But, I mean, we love the makeup effects in it.
I will say.
I've been in bad movies or movies that people don't like. So it's par for the course.
I think it was a $30,000 picture that was like what Damien wanted it to be in the showcase and what he wanted it to be. And one of the things that's amazing about Damien is like he really listens. So that was like one of the first things he ever did. And he listened to everybody's notes and critiques and really tried to expand on it on the second. And I feel like he's doing the same with the third. And that's like all you can ask for. You
know what I mean? Look, he's a great filmmaker. And it's very rare to have something. There's so many horror movies out there, right? Mm-hmm. And for something to pop and become sort of culty, and that's what he did. And the movies get better and better. And like now he's doing another one. And what I love is he's doing it his way. Mm-hmm. He's doing what he loves, and it's his passion. And so at the end of the day, if you're creating things that are things that you want to make. These. I was gonna wear these, but then I wore these because they were cooler. But they're prescription. I really admire that. I think that's what the goal is. I think what people try to do now, you know, young directors, they cater towards what they think the corporations want. You know, and so it's tough. It's like, oh, we have to have certain people in it, and we have to have. And everybody needs a big star. And I'm like, in horror movies, you don't really need a star. You need a good story, and the movie will take off because there's a fan base. So you don't need big stars to make movies. But every time I write a horror script, they're like, all we have to do is attach one big name.
Yeah.
I'm like, it doesn't drive the horror fans.
No.
It really doesn't matter who, like, it does to an extent. Obviously, like, we have our people that, like, we root for and we want right. to see succeed, like, any catalyst. But in terms of, like, who's in it, it's all about the film itself.
You look know? At about, it like, follows, the premise. The, it follows. Yeah. Scream. There's so many movies where there's, like, no, you don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's cool to me. Mm-hmm. Because you're not like going, oh, there's so and so. I know what he's gonna do or she's gonna do. It's just more exciting to see like a new batch.
Yeah, especially with Terrifier, specifically, just the word of mouth of it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so homespun and didn't really have anything for marketing. It was just like word of mouth. Like, oh, people are thrown up in the theater. Like, we gotta yeah. go see this.
Yeah. yeah,
it's been wild to watch it. Like. From the very beginning, just like become this like behemoth. But I feel like you know all about that. I mean,
about what?
About something becoming a behemoth of an entity. I mean, you've done these superhero films and series. I mean, from like, I don't think people realize that are not really in entertainment, like the how competitive and kind of political it is to get those roles and then yeah. to continue to get them and continue to work in them from like Smallville to now.
Well,
Guardians.
I always say it's the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And because how many times have you done a movie where, you know, it looks good, mm-hmm. but the story's not very good or the acting's not very good or there's all these components. But when you do something and you're like, okay, I'm doing my job and the actors around me are good and it looks great. And it, you know, all these elements, the sound, the production value, everything just clicks. It's rare. And I had done, you know, I wasn't an overnight success like my co-star Tom Welling, which who I love and we're best friends. But, you know, it didn't happen overnight for me. And I had done things that people never heard of or wouldn't really discuss. Mm-hmm. And then this happened. And I remember I was David Nutter, who directed the pilot. And David went on, you know, Game of Thrones, the Blood Wedding, Red Wedding.
Yeah. Oh, he did that episode?
Oh, yeah. He did. Wow. He's done so many great things. And he was like the pilot guy. If he directed a pilot, it went. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, he's known for that. He was on my podcast, too, by the way. Cheap plug.
What's the name of your podcast? They should check it out.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Just it's different because, and I'll finish my thought, but it's a podcast really about, you know, I'm sort of, I want people to feel like they're a fly on the wall, like or the questions I'm asking, they want to ask. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I'm like sort of a kid in a candy store. When I'm talking to my guests,
yeah,
I feel like I'm just like, oh, and you did this. You were Lando. Like Billy Dee Williams was just at the house. And I'm like, you know, at the end, I'm like, can you sign my Lando statue? He's like, of course I will. And we talk about everything and mental health and anxiety and facing adversity and, you know, Keanu Reeves came to the house, mm-hmm. and it's just like, it's kind of a dream, and I love it, and it's, you know, it's important to me. But for Smallville, when David Nutter took me aside and showed me the opening of the pilot, it's the first time I ever thought, wow. I called my parents, who I never called about this stuff, because, you know, my dad was sort of the guy who was like, I go, hey, I got this movie. He's like, who's in it? I go, well, nobody you know, when's it coming out? I go, well, it's an independent movie, so it's not a real movie? Forget it. Can you say F on this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking forget it. And so when David showed me the opening of this pilot, I called him. I said, hey, people are going to recognize me from this. This is going to be big. And I never said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I still don't say that. I've learned to let things go. You know, you do your job, hopefully you get paid and move on. And you want it to be good. You want every project, you put your heart and soul in everything. But that was a perfect storm. That was.
And you recognized it right off the bat.
Yeah. It's, you know, they always say, you know, it's a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. But I think that I was prepared for it. When preparation meets opportunity, you know, that's luck. And I feel like I was ready. I had done enough. I did a lot of theater, and I just felt like this is wow. This actually is happening.
How old were you when you got
that role? I think I was like 28, 29. Oh, okay. Something like that.
So still pretty young.
29.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I had done movies.
You've been doing.
I did
a
movie called Rave Macbeth. Rave fucking Macbeth.
Like rave like.
Yes, it's the Macbeth story, and I played Macbeth. And it was, we shot in Germany. It was one of the best times of my life. And I had this driver, his name was Nico. And every morning I'd say, hey, Nico, how do I say shit my pants in German? He goes, Michael, why do you want to know these things? Nobody wants to hear them. And I go, how do I say I shit my pants? He goes, ich habe in der Hosen gemacht. And so he would teach me all these bad words. But I had a great time. But somehow the sound got destroyed. So I had to loop the entire movie.
Oh, no.
I've had that happen before.
It was awful. And the movie could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do things and you hopefully learn and you grow as an actor. And so that's just part of it.
I had to do that on a film that I won't name what it is, but
I named mine.
It was a Christmas film, I'll say that. And they were hiring a lot of local crew in the area that we were at, and they hired this local sound guy who was so sweet and so well intentioned, but like definitely just I think in a little over his head, like the mic packs were like 20 years old, you know, things like that. And you know how like normally the sound guys, like they pride themselves on their carts. Mm-hmm. Like you can like land an airplane with that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where you want to charge your phone because you know it's going to happen like
this
that.
This guy wasn't.
This guy had an actual like laundry, old lady laundry cart. That was sound cart.
That's so funny you say that. I directed this movie called Back in the Days. This little movie I wrote, and it was a comedy. And day one, the sound guys, I was having an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. And I said to my producer, my first AD, I took him aside at the end of the day and I go, they are you all right? I go, I don't know how to say this. We need to fire the sound. And they both looked at me and go, we agree. And I go, great. Okay. And then I go, okay, so you're going to fire them. Like, we can't fire them now. We have to get a replacement first because we need to shoot the rest of the week. So we had to wait a few days. But these guys were just like, you know, they were saying kind of things under their breath, jokes kind of.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't feel right. And they didn't do a great job.
Yeah.
So I had to let them go. But that's sound is everything. But you know when you're on a set what you're getting.
Yeah.
What they're shooting on. I mean, how they're lighting it. If you look at the lighting and you're like, ah, oh, because a lot of times you see movies and you're like, all right, they shot this on their iPhone, which is fine. Make your movie.
Get it made, yeah.
But, you know,
You hope for something that'll make you look good.
Yeah, you want to look good. You want to at least, because if it looks like shit and you're great, it doesn't matter really.
Exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't, like I said, perfect storm kind of shit.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's all important, but but we do things and we learn and they're a lot of fun. I did this one movie. I won't say it because you didn't say yours. But I did this one movie and the DP was like this guy who did huge movies back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something happened where he just stopped learning how to make, you know, shoot movies. Like, or we shot, it was digital, but it looked so bad. The lighting, and the set design. It broke my heart. I watched it. And my friend, Dax, he texts me in the movie during the premiere and goes, this movie's so bad, I can't believe I'm not in it. And I was dying. I was like, yeah. But, you know, it's part of it, you know? It's like, how many people have done every movie they make is just great? You just got to keep doing it. Keep making movies. Keep working. Keep, you know.
And you learn every time. It's kind of like what we were talking about, like, a little bit with Terrifier. Like, when you're working at like a micro budget level and you're just trying to get your film out there, nothing is going to go perfect. It's impossible. And it's not going to be a perfect thing, but like all you can, but I think making it and actually doing it, I have so much more respect for people who just do that than just sit around and like wait.
Talk
you know
about
what I
mean? It. Yeah. And I feel like that too. I'm like, when I watch a lot of these horror movies, and I told you I have a horror movie group, and we watch every Tuesday, and we have like the Rosenbaum rating system, like three bombs. And
how convenient that your name works out.
Rosenbaum, you know.
This should be like the new like LA Times rating system.
It should be. Well, you know, I always wanted to start something where it's like, because I have a thing against Rotten Tomatoes, because every time they say 95%, look out. Now, first of all, never look at that. Look at the audience score.
Now, you know, always though, that's not saying the movie is like a 9.5 out of 10, right? You know, that's just saying 95% of critics said that it was at least a 6 out of 10 or higher.
Is that what it is?
This is such a misconception.
Oh,
Rotten Tomatoes.
I didn't know
that percentage is the percentage of critics who think that it is at least an okay movie. So you can see.
Oh, so no one should look at Rotten Tomatoes then.
Well, you can see the average rating in small text below the percentage.
Yeah.
But yeah, that percentage is not like a rating out of 100. It is the percentage of critics who thought, yeah, that's fine. Or
well, that they don't. That's not, you know. But when you see 95, 100% Rotten Tomatoes, right? Every critic. This is. I mean. How are we supposed to know that?
I know. They need to put a
That's bullshit.
Or change.
That's bullshit.
It's how it's been since the beginning, but just no one bothers.
And you know what? By the way, Fox owns Rotten Tomatoes.
Do they?
Just say, yes.
Yeah. Did you mention Barbara Crampton?
Sure I did.
Yeah. When don't we?
I know. It's so funny because I felt like I could feel her warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's just here with us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Here I am! Oh my god, Michael! Well, so good to see you.
We met at that thing.
Yes, we met at that party.
Yeah.
Yes, it was so fun. Everybody was in costume. Oh,
look at us fixing her jacket.
I know. I want to look good.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good for you to be here. Great for my neck, but.
No, I know. Yes. Well, we can talk. We can kind of talk like this.
How are you? Yeah, I did that once. Yeah. My neck was starting to hurt because I was looking this much to this person that I just go, I'm still listening. Which reminds me, I had a friend, his manager was a comedy manager, and just for some reason, nothing was funny anymore. He didn't laugh anymore.
Yeah.
So my friend pitched in this hilarious show, and the guy just looks at him and goes, I'm on the floor, Harlan.
Yeah, right.
He's like, you don't think it's funny? He's like, no, I'm on the floor. And he really thought it was funny, but he just didn't laugh. He just was like, it hurt for him to laugh, I guess.
Oh my God.
So I always say that to somebody. Somebody says the joke, and I go, I'm on the floor.
Was it Harlan Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I quote him all the time from Half Baked.
You drinking some of Grandpa's cough medicine there, are you, bud? Remember Dumb and Dumber?
Yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, anyway.
But I heard you talking about movies when I was sitting over there, and I didn't know you were such an in-depth horror fan, like extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is also my favorite.
I love that.
I love it. And Gunnar Hansen was a friend of mine.
Really?
Did you ever meet him?
No.
Yeah, I met him at a convention, the first convention I ever did, and I was seated right next to him, and I'm like, oh my God, is he gonna come and get me? And he was a documentarian. You like documentaries too. And he was really smart and a writer and just completely different than his character of Leatherface.
Wow.
And he actually schooled me on what to do at my first convention, on how to, you know, talk to the fans and do all that stuff. And
that's
then,
nice.
And then we became friends. And,
I like that.
Yeah, it was cool.
You all right over there?
He's coughing.
Jeez, don't spit it out.
He's not sick. He has allergies.
No, we're all going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're all doomed. What movie is that from? Get ready. Dude.
Yeah.
He can remember, he goes, you're all doomed. I love that guy.
You'll never come back again.
Well, thanks to your mom for having you watch all these movies.
Yeah, well, she couldn't get anybody else to watch him with her, so I was.
Were you an only child?
No, I was the middle kid. I was. Yeah. My brother wrote these essays or whatever, and he had me read them, and then he described the family members. And then when he got to me, he goes, and then there was Michael. Nobody ever listened to him. It was like he wasn't there.
The middle child.
It's like,
oh my God,
at least he validated it.
But that's a middle child syndrome, isn't it?
I guess. Yeah.
I hear a lot of middle children become actors because they like need the attention.
Yeah, I needed the attention.
I'm the youngest of five, and nobody paid attention to me because they were all doing their own thing. So I think I became an actor because I was just like vying for attention.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. As long
we
as
want
you
attention.
As long as you know the difference between, you know, because the feeling of love, mm-hmm. which is, it fills you up and it's sustained, you know?
Yeah.
But attention is the same thing. It's the same feeling, only one is like, it isn't sustained. It's like a colander, right? Shell. It just keeps coming out. You have to keep filling it up. Attention, attention, attention. So you're never completely filled up. So as long as you learn the difference between the two and you can get your validation elsewhere, that's what's important.
Okay, that sounds like something a psychologist said to you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good, though. I'm going
to I always say that. Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Are you loved? Are you loved, Barbara?
I feel like I am loved.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That's good. I mean, you love her?
She's so beloved. I call her the mayor of Halloween Town. Like, I'm not kidding. She's the mayor. She brings us all together, especially the women in genre. She, like, really brings us together. She's, like, champions everyone. She's everyone's, like, biggest fan.
Look at you. That's
nice. I put together get-togethers as well.
Why don't you invite me?
Well, you'll have to dress.
I'm not a woman.
You have to dress up.
I've been in drag in a few movies.
Yeah, okay.
I
can come over.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, we'll invite you over.
Thanks. You might be the first man ever invited to the female get-togethers. James doesn't even come. His wife does.
And his wife comes, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know how it goes.
Thanks, man.
We'll see. We should experiment a little bit. Maybe invite the guys, too.
A few guys. Only a few cool guys.
Yeah.
Only a select few. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like, no more than six.
We're on this WhatsApp group text now. And actually, you're not on. Are you on our text
not
now?
Not the WhatsApp, because the other text was maxed out. And that was such iconic women. I felt like
Who was on it? Oh. Cassandra Peterson?
No, but I can get her on there.
Yeah, she's a friend. She's awesome.
Dee Wallace is on there.
Dee, I love Dee.
Yeah.
We had Dee on. Everyone cried.
Jennifer Tilly.
Dee, yes, they cried on mine, too. She cried
on
mine.
Oh, she cries. Yes, yes.
We all cried, too.
She's amazing. She did what she does, and then she got each of us, and I couldn't speak. Like, she said something to me about, it was from the channel and what the channel was saying about me, and I was like,
yeah, she really, cool. She can move you. Really love her.
Yes.
Although she canceled lunch on me 2 weeks ago, so I'm kind of upset. No, I'm not upset.
Okay, we got to play our game.
All right.
We always play a game with our guests.
It's all right.
You cough as you will. Does anybody have a throat lozenge?
Oh, I've got them in.
You got them.
This is what is with it.
Wow.
Oh. You almost see it without.
Thank you for the SARS.
Right. You're doing pretty well.
Is that what you said? That's such a throwback.
It's a throwback, isn't it?
Talk early aughts.
So Catherine comes up with all these games, and I always thank Catherine for this.
It's my fault.
Let's play it.
So I haven't read this yet. So, but we're playing Escape the Nightmare. We've played this game with Henry.
Fonda.
Henry
Zabrowski, Mick Garris, and. And do we play with Don Mancini?
Yeah,
okay. So this is a prompt for you. Okay. I'm going to read this. In this game, our guests will be presented with a vivid nightmare scenario that could exist in the Smallville or Guardians of the Galaxy franchise universes. The challenge is to come up with a creative and imaginative escape plan. Each time the guest comes up with an escape plan, a host will counter with an obstacle which would keep them in the terrifying dream scenario. The guest's goal is to continue to come up with escape strategies until they finally wake from the nightmare.
So I'm making this up?
Yeah, we're making this up. So I'm gonna start you off.
James, how much do you love Factor Meals?
I love Factor Meals because I don't have time, Catherine. Time is something that
you don't have it.
It just slips their way through my fingers every day, and I think about how much time is leaving me, and I'm like, oh, but I have to eat to sustain myself, and I don't have time to make food.
There's just too many minutes in the day. You're having an existential crisis. You're like, I don't know how I'm gonna do it all.
And exactly, but I do have 2 minutes to make a Factor meal.
To put it in the microwave, it comes pre-made. It's delicious. It's healthy. It's specified to your dietary needs.
That's right.
Big into fitness.
I've got them. Yeah, my trainer is like, hey man, you gotta stop eating all these high fat things. You gotta eat better.
And I'm like, eat the Factor meals.
Don't worry, I got Factor.
And so it works out. So if you want to try Factor yourself, or if you're just too busy, or you forget to eat like I do, it's like a neurological thing. I feel like I don't.
You gotta remember to eat.
I know. I feel like I don't feel hunger. This is like a real thing.
Oh yeah.
I think I have a neurological imbalance where I don't feel hunger.
Oh no.
I don't know. It's like an evolutionary mechanism. But anyway, thanks to Factor meals, I don't have to worry about that. About
That's right.
accidentally killing myself from starvation. I can just use Factor. And if you want to use Factor and support the show, you can go to factormeals.com/screamdreams50 and use the code screamdreams50.
Why is it 50?
Because 50% off.
That's right.
50% off to get, or no, it's not. That's a lie.
Ha!
wait, actually, yes, it is. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. So so it's like a double whammy.
That's
like Scream Dreams 50, you get 50 and then 20. What's that? That's 70 really when you think about
that's it. That's not math, but but that first one is half off.
It is half off.
Which
so
is great.
So if you want to support the show, head to factormeals.com/screamdreams50 and use the code screamdreams50 to get 50% off your first box and then 20% off your next box. That's code
screamdreams50
at
screamdreams50 factor.com.
factor.com/screamdreams50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Don't starve to death. Get Factor meals. You know what's a nightmare? Dehydration.
Yeah, you know what's an even worse nightmare? Plastic pollution.
That's why we love Liquid Death and their evil mission to murder your thirst and kill plastic pollution.
That's right. Their aluminum cans are as metal as they get. So pick some up today because we all need something refreshing to reach for when we wake up from a nightmare.
It's true. Cheers.
Okay, you find yourself visiting the town of Smallville, where you are invited to an exclusive gala at the Luther Mansion.
It's already a horror movie.
It is. Yes. Everything's a horror movie.
Yes, I'm at the gala. Go ahead. Yeah. Luther Gala.
Uh-huh. The residence of the brilliant and evil Lex Luthor, where you have been promised an event that will change the course of human destiny. An event, okay. Lex takes the stage. That would be you. Unveiling his latest invention, a machine which he claims can unlock and manipulate the human mind's potential. And you have volunteered to be the first participant to test out the device. Well, wait a minute.
So he's not,
you're not Lex Luthor. You are somebody else.
You are Michael.
Okay.
It's like an alternate universe where you're not Lex
Luthor. So it's a mind-altering thing, that experiment that Lex is doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm the...
You're the guest.
Okay.
But as the machine activates, a searing pain explodes in your brain, and you find yourself in a labyrinth maze within the mansion. The halls shift and wrap around you, corridors stretching into infinity, rooms looping back on themselves in an impossible geometry. Wow, this is really good, Catherine.
Yeah, you should write this into a movie.
I do what I can. You know, I realize from time to time.
I think she plagiarized.
Yeah.
No, this is not AI.
No, I'm sure it's not.
This sounds like The Matrix to me. I don't know.
You realize the device was not designed to elevate humanity, but to bend it to Lex Luthor's will. You must find a way to escape the maze or be lost to Lex Luthor's twisted control forever. What do you do?
Well, it's a maze, and I'm trapped in it, but I see a compartment above me, and I can't quite reach it, but thankfully, there's a dead body against the wall, and I scoot it over, and I step on the dead body, and I open the compartment, and that little flap of metal, right? Stand there, and is it sturdy enough for me to kind of pull myself up? And I pull myself up, and I somehow get up there, and it's this giant crawl space a la Alien, you know? And I start crawling, and it's really tight, and I'm claustrophobic, and I'm like, and there's only one way, and it's dark, and I'm hearing all these noises.
Okay, and then I'm gonna jump in, and this reminds me of what happened to me in
Chopping Mall.
Yes.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
I love Chopping Mall.
Yeah.
So you were inside that corridor, and there's only one way, but there's this smoke that rises up, and it's going into that labyrinth sort of compartment up in the ceiling, and it's pulling you back. It's pulling you back. It's like this otherworldly thing that's pulling you back out and forcing you down back into the room.
Yes, but thankfully, the dead body was a security guard, and they had a mask.
Ooh.
It was a gas mask. And so I put the gas mask on, I climb back up, and I start going through that hole again. And this time I'm able to do it, even though it's kind of sucking me. That didn't sound right. Sucking me back down that hole didn't sound right either. And I just keep going down, and it's pulling me. But there's these, you know, you think that these smooth steel sides of the escape hole, you think they're too smooth, but there's some little divots in the wall that I clang my hands into. One of my nails rips off, but I'm able to keep moving.
But then, just as you're going, you feel something grab your ankle, and you turn around, and it's this dead body security guard. He's now a zombie, and he's pissed that you stole his mask. and he's pulling you back. He's pulling you back down, and he has like superhuman zombie strength.
Yeah, I kick him in the face a few times.
Okay.
And he drops back down out of that hole.
Oh, yeah. He does.
Yeah, he drops down out of the hole.
Okay, and then what?
And then I take that trap door that was dangling down, that metal compartment, and I pull it up, and I lock it from the inside, and now he can't get in, so I continue my journey down
there. There's
that
a lock from the
route.
Inside? That's very interesting.
Well, it's not actually a lock on the inside. I actually jerk it up so hard that it gets stuck. You know how sometimes that could happen?
You're good, Michael. You're good.
Well, now that you've created a sealed tube, there is a increased airflow, and in fact, someone cranks up the airflow, and now instead of being pulled back, you are propelled forward at an alarming speed. And trying to grab any of the divots on either side, that's just going to, like, rip your fingers off. So you're being just hurtled, your body just ragdolling down this corridor.
Well, what's amazing, though, is once I'm just smashed all the way down, it comes to an end, and somehow I'm flailing, and I tumble backwards, and now I'm on, like, this Goonies slide. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just sliding down this tunnel into an abyss. I don't know where it's going. But I start to see light. I start to see light from the outside, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. I'm going to get out this way. This is the way out.
Okay. Down the slide?
Yeah. Down the slide. It's going to take me outside. But then when I start getting closer and closer, I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
And I decide right then and there I'm going to piss myself, because that's what you do in a horror movie. You just piss yourself. It adds story. It adds complexity. It adds dimension to your character.
I think that's
it's real. I just pissed myself. And just now as well.
Oh.
And so I'm sliding down this thing, and boom. It's glass. It's a glass window. And I see people, and I'm about two stories up, and I see people, and I'm knocking on the glass.
But they're so grossed out that you feed yourself that they won't even acknowledge you or help
you.
Yeah,
it turns out that they are actually all your high school graduating class, and they look up and they see how you've peed yourself,
and
they
like,
point
aha,
in my
ass. Aha, pee pee pants.
Yeah.
These are some cruel people. So the people aren't helping me that are down there?
No, they're mocking you.
Now they're mocking me, and they start throwing rocks. Mm. And inadvertently, as they're throwing rocks at me, as to like put me down and say shame and all that, gross guy, peeing on himself guy, one of the rocks shatters the glass, and I kick it, and somehow it busts open.
Are you letting him out?
Well, I mean, at this point, I think he lands down there, and it's like this reunion, but let's go a little farther, because Michael loves horror movies so much, and let's just say that it's like a time where he's coming down, and it's very bloody, and it reminds me of when Carrie and Sissy Spacek had all that blood. So there's like blood on Michael, and he looks like Carrie and pee. Oh. And
could I add to that nightmare?
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I get down there, and all these people that were laughing at me, and they're all there and mocking me, I start to change, and I realize my ankle was bitten by the zombie.
Ooh.
And I become a zombie, and I start taking these fuckers down left and right, and I'm chasing them. And who's laughing now?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. You're really good at this game.
Yeah,
this is like
I didn't know what I was doing.
No, we'll let you out now. I mean, you're really good at improv.
You've won the game.
Yeah.
You've become Luther himself, really. Mm-hmm. Zombie Luther.
Zombie
now you're
Luther.
In control.
Am I bald?
Yeah, sure.
Bald zombie Luther?
Sure. With like a little bit of like a, you know, little zombie tumor type growth on your head.
You know, it's funny, because when I was Lex Luthor, I've always had this occipital bone. Mm-hmm. And I always used to tell the DPs, I'm like, hey, can you just not shoot the back? It kind of looks like I got a matrix attachment. It wasn't that bad, but they never did.
What, like a real occipital bone?
Yeah, feel it.
That scared me.
See, it's a little.
Yeah?
It's a little bone.
But it doesn't show. Oh, when you were bald.
When I'm bald, it kind of shows a little. But it was just a little bump.
You were sensitive about it. Yeah.
And I shouldn't have been, because I look at it, I'm like, who cares? It was a little, you know, it was your occipital bone.
Sure.
I didn't even know what the hell that was.
I think
Alice and Janney. Tall, big features. She's iconic. You know, it doesn't matter. Little occipital ball.
Does she?
Who cares? Yeah.
Do you have an occipital ball?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you have one? I'm not touching you.
No, I'm good.
I don't know.
You?
I don't know what it is.
I just don't have earlobes.
Yeah, I think I have it.
You do?
I think if we were all together, we'd have little dents. Yeah, it's a
and
dent.
Our children would have little
dents.
Dents.
Wow.
Oh my God. Yeah. We named them Little Dents.
Little
our
dent.
Little dents.
Dent, dent and dentina.
One would become a dentist.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
The dents. That would be the practice.
And one would just be dumb dents.
Dumb dents.
Yeah. Yeah. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's continue this another time.
Okay.
And my New York accent just came out.
Oh, time. My God.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what?
I'm from Long Island originally.
I'm from Long Island.
You are?
I was born in Oceanside.
Oh, my God. I'm from Levittown.
Levittown, Oceanside, yeah. 272 Bayside Avenue. Chickie Pellegrino lived across the street from me.
Oh.
And my grandmother, and then there was Anthony yeah. Pellegrino. The Pellegrinos lived yeah. there. There was Lawson Deli.
Oh, my God.
ShopRite.
Amazing.
You ever go to ShopRite or Wallbound?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we lived near the North Village Green.
Oh, you were
Do you
rich.
Know that?
You were uppity yeah. shit.
Nah, I don't know if we were, but you know.
Yeah, we were blue yeah. collar. My grandfather owned auto shops and shit like that.
So. I grew up in the carnival business, so we were worse than blue collar.
Really?
Yeah.
You were freaks.
Totally. I'm a freaked. Yeah, for sure.
But you turned into a beautiful woman, so.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenbaum.
Yeah, you know.
I got to go now, so you guys continue your conversation. And I just want you to watch Cold Fish because I think you'd like that movie.
I'm going to
okay?
watch it. Yeah,
watch that.
I'm going to watch it.
All right. I'll see you next time.
Oh. What the fuck?
Dude, where'd she go?
It's a talent that I wish I could have. Teleportation.
Jeez.
It was fun, though.
An enigma.
I feel like so often, like you talked a little bit about like your dad and like his perspective on things, but I think so often we're so afraid because we work in this industry.
My dad?
Like, yeah, on his...
Just his layman's understanding of like, oh, who's in it? No? Oh, so it's not a real movie.
Oh, yeah my dad.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No, but like because my family is the same way. My dad, like when I call, I've been doing this professionally my entire life. Like,
so
this
27
is,
years?
This is, yes, since I was in the womb. No, but like, you know, as an adult, this is all I do. This is how I make my living. And to this day, my father, I will call him and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm working on this film this week, you know, and he'll be like, cool, are you getting paid? How do you think I live?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I love that though, because it's like this whole kind of like this understanding. I could not get him to watch Barbie for the longest time.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. Did you watch it?
Oh yeah, it rules, man.
Yeah,
you love Barbie?
It's so good.
It's so fucking funny.
He like yeah. he my dad loves musicals. He loves comedy. I'm like, you will like this movie. Just like, I don't want to see Barbie. Finally watches it. Loved it. And I think it's like this
really
whole, yeah, and it's like an
it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I think it's like an
I'll watch it. I have it, go ahead, finish.
No, it's okay. I think it's just like we are so worried, we're so scared all the time to like appease like our cinematic kind of elite brethren that we forget who we're making these films
I
for
agree
in the first
I
place.
Agree, you know? Seth Green went up to George Lucas once and said, tell me about Jar Jar Binks. What do you think of Bill's response? He goes, well, I didn't make it for you. I made it for kids that are like 7 or 8 or 9, like I made C-3PO and R2-D2 for you when you were a kid. I was like, touche. Because it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, I didn't like that. I'm an adult. And I was like, oh my God. But I get what you're saying. I do. And I can appreciate that. But again, it wasn't like I was anti-Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
I was anti-G.I. Joe. I was anti-Mattel. I don't want to watch movies about I'm just not, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Lego guy. I'm not a big, I have a Star Wars Millennium Falcon though.
Oh yeah.
Like and I like Legos, but yeah. I'm into horror and documentaries. That's what I'm into.
Terrifying things.
And some really good comedies, but they're all, think of it, name one amazing comedy in the last 10 years.
Spy.
What?
Spy.
I didn't see Spy.
Melissa McCarthy, Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah, that
Spy,
is really
Spy, I fucking
good.
Love Spy.
All right, name another one.
Is Hot Rod more than 10 years old?
I don't know what Hot Rod is.
Hot Rod with Andy Samberg.
2009, I think.
You missed the boat.
That is one of the funniest movies ever.
Isn't it amazing, though, that you can't start spitting off great?
Bottom. I didn't love Bottoms, but.
Bottoms?
Yeah, Bottoms was recent, and a lot of people really loved it.
All right.
But I really liked Theater Camp. That
I'm
going to
get your
one.
Email. I thought that was clever and cool,
Theater
but
camp?
I wasn't knee buckled.
Joyride was all right.
Huh?
Pineapple Express.
Yeah, but that was like that was more than 10 years.
Yeah. I think like. like in the early aughts was like this really nice like
early
like,
aughts.
Yeah, yeah. Early
no, 2000s. I know what an aught is. It's yeah. like that you
early
said
2000s. Or what about for those of you at home? Was it good?
Well, recently,
was it good?
Talking about Sweeney, I heard that movie was good with Glenn Powell.
Oh, that rom-com.
Anyone but you.
I love Glenn Powell. I'm gonna get on the podcast.
And then there, I just can't get on.
There was the No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence.
Are you gonna email me some comedies to watch? Because right now we're thinking about either watching Airplane. Caddyshack again.
Oh man,
maybe Police Academy.
Yeah, maybe try out some newer ones.
I know I'm kind of stuck back in the 80s. Yeah,
I just watched Club Dread again, like just because. And I actually really liked it. I thought it was really funny. I was like laughing the whole time. But I don't think it would try. It would not do well now. It would not.
Well, there's the whole. I mean, Matt Damon has a really good thing about how like these mid-budget movies, especially comedies, just. It's such a different landscape for them now because you don't get residuals on physical media and the streaming. And like people won't go to the theater for movies that they're like, oh, I could just watch it at home, as opposed to something like Dune, where it's like it's a spectacle. You want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
So it's such a different landscape.
I do want to see my my friend Dave Dastmalchian's movie.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Late Night with the Devil.
We're
Late Night
so
with the Devil. I haven't seen it. It's number
Dave
one
is one
of my
close
right
friends and – so,
we'll
all go see that. He's fantastic. He's always great whenever he does. He was on the podcast, and he's just got a huge heart, and the movie looks great.
It does.
And I'm excited to see it, and I'm going to go see it in the theater.
The 70s aesthetic.
Well, that's the whole thing.
And by the way, I loved X.
Oh, I love X. Did you like Pearl as well?
I liked Pearl.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't love Pearl, but I liked it. Her monologue at the end was a little bit like, wow. she's a fantastic actress.
Yeah, I can't wait for Maxine. The
I don't know about that.
That is the sequel to X. So it's a trilogy.
Oh, wow.
And that comes out this year.
X was fun, man. It felt old school, didn't it?
Yeah.
It felt like I was watching like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Exactly.
And by the way, I've thought about it. When people ask you your scariest horror film, I'm going to ask you guys.
Okay.
What's the scariest or your most favorite horror film?
Those are totally different answers.
Yeah, same.
Okay, your favorite horror film of all time?
It's a tie between John Carpenter's The Thing and Scream, the original.
By the great. Mm-hmm. And scariest?
Wreck. Yeah, Record,
really?
The Spanish film, yeah.
Wasn't it just an anthology?
No, you're thinking of VHS.
Oh.
Wreck is the found footage Spanish film where a news reporter goes into a building that's like gets quarantined.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Infection.
You
thought
that was scary?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That
really
and The Descent,
scary.
I think, are
like. All
right, I'm
going to have to revisit that. Yeah. Go ahead.
The Craft and Lost Boys.
The Craft is
like
your favorite.
Nice. Of all time. All time. Like, The Craft comes on, I stop what I'm doing.
I might have
like,
to get you an autograph because, not to name drop, but Kiefer and Jason are good friends of mine.
So oh, great.
I know
I have
Jason.
The poster signed. Oh, I have, like, I'm a nerd. I have tons of autographs.
The thing, that,
I
that
love
comes,
that shit.
That comes back to my dad. Like, that's how we, like, we bonded on like on horror movies and fantasy films, and like vampires were like our thing. He got
See,
me into Buffy
awesome.
The Vampire Slayer.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, my dad. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Is he like, with us now?
Yeah, he's like in the no. he listens though. He's gonna love this.
Oh, good. Hi, Dad.
I redeemed
How are
him.
You? Good to see you.
Those are my favorite. I think like scariest. It varies. It definitely varies. The first Conjuring really got me. The Babadook. I think
we want
the
one answer. We're looking for one answer.
The Babadook.
The Babadook.
Yeah.
Babadook
was
scary. I felt like the Babadook was really good. I liked it a lot. Could have been scarier.
I think it tapped into this
Could've
like
been
child
scarier.
This like child trauma
she was
for me.
Great director.
I think that's what got me was like the child trauma of it. I had to like stop watching
it. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen
it was
a
some
lot.
Dark shit.
Yeah, that
it
doesn't
was great.
Happen.
I thought
I
the movie
stop.
Was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like what about okay, so what are yours then? What is your favorite and the scariest?
I think my favorite of all time, when it's on, I have to watch it. And it may sound like everybody says this, but to me, The Shining.
Man, that movie's divisive.
The Shining is just, it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just so terrifying and so fun and creepy. I just, and I love, there's some funny lines in it when he's like, when Wendy comes up to him and
whether
says,
"Whether I'm working, whether I'm not working."
Not even that scene.
Oh no, okay.
This is another scene where she goes, Jack, someone's in the hotel. They hurt Danny. And then he looks at her and goes, "Are you out of your fucking mind?"
Yeah.
On we could talk. You are amazing. We could talk to you all day about movies.
I love it. It's something I love talking about.
well, we would keep you here all day, but we can't. So we always wrap things up by asking our guests what their nightlight is. And what we mean by that is amidst
all... Well, I don't party or club anymore. Oh, nightlight?
Yeah, not the limelight, the your nightlight.
I thought you said nightlight.
So we ask people what we mean by that is amidst all the nightmares, all the scary things in the world, all the movies that terrify you, what is the thing in life that keeps you going, that like reminds you when you wake up from the nightmare that everything is going to be okay?
That's a really good question. I think that because there's always tomorrow, okay, and you got to keep thinking of no matter where you are, tomorrow's a new day. You know, and I always try to think like that. I always think like if I'm having a bad day, I'm not going to always feel like this. Mm-hmm. There's tomorrow. Or, hey, this script didn't get made. This movie didn't get made. Mm-hmm. But there's tomorrow. Uh-huh. And it's good. I was watching something online and somebody said, you know, when someone says, hey, this happened to you, something, you know, bad, like we're not going to make your movie. Just say good, because that's going to make me work harder. To make that happen.
Yeah.
And when somebody says, you're not good enough, good. I will be. It's just gonna make it just puts a fire, you know, under you. And I think that I try to be optimistic, and I try to spend as much time with my friends as possible, and say my gratitudes every night before I go to bed.
I do them in the morning.
Trust me. Write them down. Here's the thing, because my mind, with all the horror movies, mm-hmm, and all the shit, if you go to bed, a lot of times people say, I can't sleep, I have these nightmares, which I do have nightmares, not as much anymore. But if I stop and I just start to say all the things I'm grateful for, I'm so grateful I had the best grandfather ever. He was like a father to me. Uh-huh. And he was such a sweet man. I'm so grateful for him. I'm so grateful for my dogs that just like give me all this dopamine, you know? And their love, and I'm so grateful for my friends who were there for, and you start, and then you fall asleep coming from a good place and these things that you love, and it's just a healthier way to be. Yeah. So whether you do it in the morning or at night, but I try to stay optimistic. And look, I'm like everybody, you get dark, you get down in the dumps, but I don't think life's a nightmare. I think it can be a nightmare, but you know, you gotta be the final girl, yeah, you know, in the nightmare. So you gotta make it. You gotta push through. If we only get this life, it's like no matter how hard it is, hey, that's keep it coming, yeah, because yeah, this is all we got. There's got to be some better days.
Cue, yeah, Annie the musical. The sun will come out. anyway, thank you so much for being with
Thanks
us
for having
today.
Me.
This is amazing. Where can people listen to your podcast? What can they watch you in next? What are you working on?
The podcast is called Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. You could watch it on YouTube. You could subscribe, listen, join Patreon and support the podcast, patreon.com/inside of you. Talkville, rewatch Smallville podcast I do with Tom Welling, which is really fun. I'm writing a horror movie now called Fletcher Lake, and it's really scary. I'm really excited about it.
Awesome.
I have some interest already, so we'll see. And then I'm doing a project with the former president of Sony, and this idea I came up with. So we're working on the pitch now. We're going to pitch, and I got a children's book coming out, and it's about farting.
Oh, nice. Great!
And it's awesome. Farting illustrations are amazing. It's a sound book.
Oh, look at fart.
And John Heater and I are going to do a reality show called Scared. Scared with Michael Rosenbaum and John Heater, where we go to the scariest places on earth.
Oh.
And it's just two jokers going, this is crap. There's no way this is real. And I get scared more than he does. So just imagine us being on a trip to like Transylvania. It's like, there's no such thing as Dracula. Gosh. I'm like, dude, how do you know that? You know, it's just like us wandering around talking to people, maybe spending the night in a castle, and
Dracula descends from the ceiling.
Yeah, just like, you know, the catacombs of Paris.
Yeah.
And like doing all these scary things, two best buddies kind of on a road trip and just having fun. And, you know, it's not like we're doing those things where the sound, what are they called?
Yeah, all those readers and meters and all that. Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. No, that ghost.
That just means somebody came in my front door. They didn't come in my front door. They walked in my front door.
I'm really glad you clarified.
Yeah,
because I
sorry
would not
about
know.
That. That was, I went, yeah, we can cut that out. This has been a joy, though.
No, thank you so much for being here. If you guys like what you listened to, let us know. If you didn't like it, let us know.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm sure you'll let them know. You guys are the real fans. You know stuff, probably more than I do. You might not agree with anything I said, but... I speak my mind.
Oh, let us know. If you like the show, like, follow, subscribe on YouTube, on all major podcast platforms. If you want to support us, which is always super awesome when we're doing stuff like this, subscribe to our Patreon. What else can they do, James?
They can ring that bell.
They can totally ring the bell. I will still, to this day, never know what that means. but I love that you promote it every time. Until next time, I'm Catherine Corcoran.
And I'm James A. Janisse. Be sure to leave the light on.
They're coming to get you, Barbara. They're coming to get you. You know what that movie's from?
Yes. No. Night of the Living Dead. Are you
come serious? On.
Oh, my God. I'm such a moron.
I met him. I met him at a convention in Pittsburgh.
Wait, who? John?
The old guy who just in the beginning says.
Oh, the cemetery. Oh,
the young guy who says, Barbara.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming to get you. So he wasn't at a regular booth. He was like in the middle of the con near booths and things. And he was just sitting there and he was signing. And I went up to him like, oh, my God, it's you. He's like, yeah, he's this old man. And I go, I have to get an autograph from you. He's like, oh, absolutely. And he's like, did you come all the way here to see me? And I go, yes, I did. I came from Los Angeles just to see you. And it was so beautiful. And he was so sweet. But, yeah.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. That's cool.
Oh.